Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Friday Night Rugby. Brian O'Driscoll is in studio with us. Happy New Year to you, Brian. How are you doing?
New Year, sure.
I was getting a bit of grief from Stephen Ferris during the week for picking my team for the game against Scotland. My bench was very strong.
Was. Laden with finishers, lines. Is that not what you referred
no,
to?
No, no, I'm not referring to finishers. That's all bollocks. It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Listen, that was just something, it was a soundbite, wasn't it, from... Was it Cheka that started it and then Eddie Jones picked up on it?
Yeah, and then Eddie Jones actually printed the team instead of replacements. It was finishers was written on the official.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. But like, and even he got a bit antsy during the World Cup when people were talking about dropping Ford for, was it the Australian game? But he said, no, I just gave him a different role remit, mate. And, you know, gave it to some journalist in his kind of semi-humorous tone, but yet still putting him in his box.
Yeah,
so,
that was the truth.
Listen,
yeah.
It's... Do you know what? As a player, trust me, you don't think, oh, not too bad, I'm a finisher today. It's all about starting in the team.
What about...
There's no consolation to be had in, oh, sorry, I've got a new role for you.
Yeah.
It's not in the first 15. That's no good to any player.
So the first 15 is all that matters to
players. It is, it is.
Can you ever change that? Is there any...
I don't think so. Unless, no. Like, even if you're telling your props that you're going to get 40 minutes each... You want to start because all the excitement and the anticipation and everything, the build up to a game, doesn't begin at half time. It begins before the game. The nervous energy, the travelling to the ground, the fans, the warm up. Like even in the warm up as a sub, you're holding shields.
Yeah.
You're running opposition against the first 15. So it's a completely different mindset, and that's why it's quite difficult. People talk about it being hard for players at the last moment to be called in because. Your whole week's preparation on the bench is different to being in the front team, in the front line. And when someone gets injured in a warm-up, all of a sudden it's like, oh gosh, yeah. And listen, I know we're professionals and everything and you're meant to be equipped to do that, but it does change your psychology where you're not anticipating needing to be ready to go from the very first whistle. You'll be called at some point, maybe through injury, maybe through a substitution, but... It's a very, very different place to be.
Okay, so you probably finished most of the games that you played in, but when you, at the end of your career, maybe there was like last 10 minutes they would have been taking you off or you would have gone off injured in games. Would you not rather have been on in those in that situation? Could you put yourself in the scenario of somebody who is likely to be subbed out, a front row, a back row, a half-back who are always getting taken off after 60 minutes, thinking...
Depends on how the game's going, right?
So sure, if
the game's in the balance, of course, you don't want to be pulled... Yeah. You don't want to be pulled from it. But I do remember towards the end last year, in particular, if the game was done or, you know, you'd 15 or 20 point lead, you'd have a look up to see what number was being held up. I was like, and that's the problem with being 13. 13's not really a replaceable position.
Yeah.
And there's good and bad in that because if you're having a howler, it's difficult to replace you. But also, if you're looking for a bit of to save your legs, you know, you really have to swap things around sometimes to take the 13 off.
Yeah.
So it works both ways. But yeah, if a game is in the balance and you're given the shepherd's hook, you know, it's because things aren't working out or you need to change tack.
Fair enough. I think like, so we did have a little bit of a conversation about trying to change the culture around the players who are first choice and second choice and how ingrained that whole thing has become where we knew Joe Schmidt's starting team from about 18 months out of the World Cup, but it was very hard for anything to change that. Once Stocktail got in the team, I don't think anybody else actually made the team after that. People fell away because of injury. There was nobody really bursting into it. And the new coach, it would be great if we could see where there was a 50-50 call. He went with the new player so that the old player comes off the bench as opposed to starting with the conservative, I need to win this game because it's my first game in the Six Nations. And the IRFU were saying, your KPIs are... win four games in the Six Nations, because that's what we always do. And if you don't do that, you fail in your first year. I would just like to see something more exciting. And I know it's not going to happen.
No, it's not. It's not. In reality, it's not. But listen, I agree with you. He doesn't have a freebie, this Six Nations, though. This isn't a, you know, to try your best and we'll see. This is a building phase. Nonsense. There's no such thing as a building phase in Six Nations. It just doesn't exist because... You know, there's finances for each position that you finish in the pool, and that's has a negative or positive knock-on effect to the IRFU and salaries and everything that comes with it. So that's why there's such huge importance put into Six Nations and strong finishes within it. Andy Farrell could look in this a few different ways. I think He's definitely under pressure to pick certain in-form players, and I'm intrigued to see what happens in that regard. Obviously, the most talked about position probably is scrum half, and in some ways, it would be a brave call not to pick John Cooney because he's been a standout performer in Europe. And he knows the tried and tested through Lions tours, through huge success with Ireland, that what Conor Murray can deliver. But in reality, John Cooney is the form player that warrants selection. So that first up selection will be intriguing.
It sends a message if he doesn't pick Cooney, doesn't it?
Does, and straight away he's on the back foot, and straight away he needs a huge performance from Conor Murray to justify it. And there's a couple of things out of his control, whereas within his control, if he goes with the in-form player and it doesn't work out for John Cooney, it's not his fault.
No.
He's picking on the basis of what he's seen previously, whereas if Cooney gets selected and he goes well, it's a double positive because everyone's happy and then he gets the performance from the player too.
And you put extra pressure on the player who hasn't been selected, who you hope responds in kind. And
that's the kicker. Particularly world-class players do that.
Yeah.
They tend to really respond. And sometimes you do need a kick up the backside to the reality check that it's not just plain sailing for you. It's not your number nine jersey or whatever position. You don't just come into camp and straight away get handed your opposition get handed the bib and you're in the team. That's a bad environment to create. And I think this is a great chance to change that up because it's a fresh slate and because yes, lots of good work is done, but because you've got a chance to really stamp your own authority on the way this team is going to be shaped. And you only get a week or two's chance of doing that?
Ever.
I just don't think he can do that in games four and five.
Yeah.
Because then he'll be accused of chasing it and doing, why didn't he do that 5 weeks ago?
It's
so I think you've got maybe 2 weeks of being able to really, rock the boat, so to speak, for those players that think that they're shoo-ins.
So if there's a 50-50 call, would you tend towards the experienced player or would you tend towards the new player?
I would tend to go to the experienced player because experience, I remember as a kid, I thought experience was massively overrated, and then you become a senior player and you realise when the going gets tough how much
when you
it
had
does
it,
count.
You were like, yeah, this is really valuable.
Yeah, but there's a naivety to a younger player. But there's an upside to that. That naivety and that ignorance. Look at Jordan Larmour and the try he scored against Munster. He'd no right to score that, in one of his first games for Leinster. But yet I think it was named Leinster Try of the Decade, and hard to argue with it. But that was just a guy going out and having fun and expressing himself.
But
so there's an upside to that too.
Think about the game against Scotland when the five debutants all came in and absolutely annihilated Scotland. That was Gatland, wasn't it?
2000, yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that we need five debutants or five, because they won't be debutants, they'll all have played November more than likely at this stage. But that if there is a call, like, I'm not saying start with a bunch of kids. Like, the team would still be incredibly strong, and I didn't realise Sexton's likely to play at this stage, it looked like. I don't know, certainly.
I get the sense that it's likely. I haven't spoken to him, but, even talking after when the injury initially happened, I think they're always cautious on rehab time, and
yeah.
I'd be surprised if it was certainly not nearly as bad as they had thought. I think there's a great chance of him coming back.
Well, look, if you've got Sexton and you've got James Ryan and you've got your back three.
Well, but who's your back three, right? So it all depends on those personnel, because you do have to have a core of leadership through your team, your spine of leadership. So Sexton, if Sexton doesn't play, for instance, that absolutely changes your personnel in other positions, no doubt. Because James Ryan, yes, is a great leader and really, he certainly leads by the way he plays. But by all accounts, I don't know if he's the most vocal of individuals.
So not captain just yet.
No, I don't think so, not yet. And then you're looking at who's going to come in at hooker. They're going to be relatively inexperienced, having lost Rory Best, and so there's a huge amount dependent on those key experienced players that are being selected as to who then fits in around them as well. Because you can't go in with just a fresh a new fresh 15 with limited experience. Six Nations is different rugby than any rugby that you'll play, including World Cup, Summer Tests, European Cup, all that. It's different rugby. So you need to have a bit of understanding as to how that needs to be
managed
and modified, and how those sort of games are run, and particularly in your 9-10 positions, probably your number 8, and definitely someone in the back three, ideally your full back.
We could have Peter O'Mahony, CJ Stander, Josh van der Fleer. There's a chance we have Murray and Sexton, and then it's the same team as the World Cup.
I don't think they're going to have all five of them. I think he's got to take a risk in there. And I think the obvious choice is to take a risk, on John Cooney. Like, I was skeptical, and I obviously played with him and I've watched him closely, and I think there's aspects to his game that aren't on point at the moment. They're not spot on. You know, his box kicking still, there's a few question marks around it, and that's definitely one of the strong points of Conor Murray's game. But I think there was parts to his game that I saw in the Munster performance that you don't get heralded for, but yet were really impressive. Like, he, you know, his work rate of tried to block down a Scannell kick at one stage when no one else chased it, and he forced the angle, and Scannell got, you know, made all of 10 or 15 metres, and straight away Ulster are on the ascendancy. And
yeah,
that sort of stuff, I think, for me, is the difference. Rather than scoring tries and kicking great goals, he's a good defender, but it's those things are right. That's a guy that's hungry for an opportunity, and I think he is the obvious choice to put someone in now as a huge Conor Murray fan.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about this, right? Because were you ever in a selection meeting with Joe? Was it as captain ever?
No. I don't think I was never captain under Joe.
Okay.
I don't think.
Right. Even for
maybe a one-off somewhere, right. But I certainly don't. It doesn't stand out. And there was none of that.
No sense.
It was really only Eddie O'Sullivan that had me in on captaincy meetings. Occasionally, Declan would ask my opinion, but. Certainly, no. With Joe, it was Joe deciding on the team.
Because I'm just interested in, do any of these games matter? That's what I remember you talking about how Keith Earls would train the house down, and he would always be in the team because he trained the house down. And if you're a Schmidt, you're like watching these games, and that helps you to get to your selection point. But do you only care about how they're doing what you want them to do in training? So does Andy Farrell base everything on?
No, it's a combination of the two. It is a combination of the two. But if John Cooney goes in and isn't able to put into, produce on the field, on the training field, what ideas Andy Farrell has for the team going forward over the course of the next 7 weeks, well, it's very hard for him to select them. Mm. And you know, he'll be looking back at tape and footage of training sessions and understanding whether he's got the same psyche that he needs his nine to achieve the goals that he's chasing and the game plan that he's chasing. And that's really important. So it's one thing fitting into one team, but there's plenty of players that have struggled to get into other sides. I remember back in 2001, Bolshaw was playing fullback for England, and they were smashing everyone and just missing out on those Grand Slams. But then he went into the Lions team and just wasn't Graham Henry sort of player. And he just couldn't fit into that setup, and it didn't work for him. And he got a bit annoyed and sort of threw the toys out of the cot a small bit because, you know, Clive's way was better. But, right, you know, not everyone fits into every
environment.
Yeah.
So these matches matter, but not as much as we think. Like, we're picking teams based, and it's far too early, because obviously this game is a big game this weekend for certain teams. It's obviously far too early to be picking teams, but they matter less than we think they do, really. They get you in, but that's all.
Yeah, they do, but they do get you in, but they are important. They are important because very hard. Do you know, it's important that the team's success. It's far more likely you're going to get selected in a team that's winning. That's where it's hard for Connacht players, because a team that's struggling at the moment, and obviously they've got a raft of injuries, but a team that's being beaten week on week, it's very hard to really shine in those games as an individual when your collective isn't going well. So why would you go with someone that's in a losing environment and struggling and on the back foot versus someone, and Bundy versus Gary Ring or versus Robbie Henshaw is a perfect example of that. It's at the moment, you know, you would imagine that you'd favour Robbie because, and he's only just coming back into form, but because of the manner in which Leinster are successful and how he's able to shine a lot more than the likes of Bundy.
Yeah, OK. Are there any other players who are have been previously undroppable who might be at risk? So my bench, for anybody who didn't see it, had it was a 6-2 split. Right, I was like, you know, it's for the sake of argument. So you have O'Mahony
playing the South African muscle game.
Exactly. Yeah, we have O'Mahony. And, well, because if we're struggling against Scotland with 60 minutes gone, then you know we need to beat the crap out of them for the last 20 minutes. So you roll out Stander, you roll out Peter O'Mahony, my front row. Who was on my front row? We had Tadhg Furlong,
Healy.
Furlong and Healy, and I had Scannell on the bench. Obviously, Furlong and Healy and Stander and O'Mahony coming off the bench is pretty impressive, right? So that's never going to be the Ireland bench, but it was to make the point that maybe it would be, we need to look away from picking the A-lads and start picking some of the young guys. Is Tadhg Furlong in any danger at this stage?
I think it's close. I think he's got enough credit in the bank at the moment to be selected first, but unbelievably impressed with Porter during the World Cup. He was himself and Gary Ringrose probably with the two shining lights in a disappointing World Cup, and then came back and was playing the house, you know, down, and then was selected in one of the European games. That was a bit of a wake-up call to Tadhg. When Tadhg then got the jersey back the following week, I think it was the second game against Northampton, he had a great game.
Yeah,
and that's what you need as a player. You need to be rattled occasionally, but I do feel as though the gap has been bridged between Porter and Tadhg Furlong at the minute, but it's still just Furlong.
You used the phrase credit in the bank, right? Should there be any credit in the bank when you're starting off now? Or
yeah, there is. There still is.
There is, right?
But also, you have to remember, Andy Farrell has been in that setup for a number of years. So, of course, favourites, coaches have their favourites.
Yeah.
And they have guys that just get it. And particularly, you know, what will really help will be if there's some very, very clever defensive players in the team where Andy Farrell, that has been his discipline. That's what he's looked after. And so they've ingratiated themselves with him over the course of the last two or three years and made, you know, in his mind, they're a firm favourite of his.
Right.
So
we might not know who they are.
Exactly. So
and when they get picked for the third time, everyone's going, okay,
yeah,
I get it now.
Yeah, that's why. They obviously had a good relationship, or they had conversations in camp that others weren't having, or that individual was asking pertinent questions that nobody else was asking.
It's funny how the coffee 2 years ago suddenly becomes very important, doesn't it?
100%. Very important. And I don't think we will have a full understanding. Like, there's other guys. You know, I have a feeling that Andy Farrell quite likes Jameson Gibson-Park.
Right.
You know? So he's going to be in the setup. And Luke McGrath played well at the weekend. Coaches identify and like guys. And the contrast to that, I remember coaches not liking certain guys. You know, I think it's been well documented that Eddie O'Sullivan didn't really like Jordan Murphy. He just couldn't. There was a lack of trust there, and I think the feeling was mutual. but it's very hard to shake that with a coach.
Yeah, it's
impossible. It's difficult.
What can you do?
You have to bide your time and wait and pray for bad results, nearly.
And injuries.
You know, exactly, until, oh, God, we have to pick you. Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah.
You're our last resort.
Thanks for the vote of confidence. Right, let's talk a little bit about the games of the weekend then. The Munster game is obviously the one that I think people are focused on the most because during the week, various people were out. We had Alan Quinlan here. He just said that at the moment, the forwards aren't good enough. They have players playing for the team who aren't good enough. It's very rare that we've had that instance where somebody say that about the team who is as close to it as he is. And, you know, their forward pack isn't the starting forward pack isn't bad. There's a few weaknesses, maybe. It's Kilcoyne, the team's been named. Kilcoyne, Scannell and Archer in the front row. John Klein, Billy Holland in the second row. Peter O'Mahony, Jack O'Donoghue and CJ Stander in the back row. So the back row is good. Front row is okay. Second row, you've got questions.
Back row's not playing brilliantly, though. Like, it's good. It's good on paper, but in reality, they're not firing. Jack O'Donoghue, probably the player of the three at the moment, but I think Peter and CJ have been quiet. Quiet during the World Cup. And, you know, disappointing performance from the Munster pack in general. I know CJ wasn't playing against Ulster. It was at Arla Both, I think, but Pete was playing, and you know, save for the occasional turnover and stuff, it's and he's still obviously good in the line-out, but I don't think it's the Peter O'Mahony of a couple of years ago. So
That's what's big weeks for these guys now.
You got to have your best players really standing up and turning up for the most difficult places to go and play in Europe, and certainly La Défense has become that. It's an amazing place to go. I commentated once there. It's a spectacle. It's more than rugby. It's really entertainment. Mm. And it's going to be fast and frenetic. And even though they don't have an incredible record there, you know, they're good there. Munster will still feel as though if they play well, they can beat them. But, you know, for me, everything is about that first 20 minutes, about staying in the game, because they're a team that has the capability of scoring two or three tries in 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the game can be over and you're chasing it. And then that's the switch of mentality where you start have to be in a bit, you need to be a bit looser, and then create, you know, you might have one or two more errors and all of a sudden you've conceded four or five out of nowhere and you possibly don't deserve it. But I feel as though Jack O'Donoghue's been the form back rower. I think they missed Tadhg Byrne. You know, listen, Billy Holland's an incredibly honest player, but I think when it comes to that next level up to play international, I know he's got a cap or two, but he can't bridge that gap. And I think at European level, to be the best, one of the best European teams, you need 13, 14, 15 international standard players. And
you kind of need
Stephen 18. Archer's not there. I think Scannell had a great opportunity 18 months ago that, you know, he didn't take because he showed great promise and then didn't take it on to the next level and displace Rory Best as hooker in Ireland. Kilcoyne obviously is just back from injury but has been one of the four Munster players over the course of the last year, and very unlucky not to displace Kian Healy in the national team, and maybe that's coming. So I there's good and bad in there, but I think they need a monster performance against a pretty big and physical Racing pack.
Just for the backs to round out the team, Conor Murray starts, JJ Hanrahan does start despite the injury that he's coming back from a hamstring strain. On the wings, it's Conway and Earls. Fullback is Mike Haley, and Rory Scannell and Chris Farrell are the centres. So that's a good backline.
It is. I've liked the look of that backline from the start of the season, and even if people aren't firing, it feels as though they have a lovely balance to it. Farrell will get you advantage line, but also has the skills. Hanrahan has been obviously their form 10 because he's gotten a lot of game time with Carberry and Bladenhall gone, but he's played well. And you know what you're getting. Mike Haley's been really good. Conway Earls still very consistent. So I think there's plenty of firepower there. There's tries there. It's can they get the platform to be able to deliver that? Because Munster aren't really a counter-attacking team. They're a structured team.
They put you pressure, build pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Phases, and,
kick to the corners.
And I have to say, under Larker, even against Ulster last week, they were close to creating opportunities and putting players through holes, and they just picked the wrong option once or twice. And that came from Carberry's first outing. Well, you look at the Daly try that in the first 7 or 8 minutes. You know, the timing of Conor Murray's pass was beautiful, likewise Carberry. So they know what they're doing. There's lots of new plays coming in there of understanding how to manipulate and change, break the defence. They're just a little bit off on that.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because bear in mind, it's January and there was a World Cup, so the pre-season was truncated. They all arrived back trying to do new things with a new coaching ticket. How long is it realistically
They're 2 months
take?
In.
Yeah,
right?
So everybody should calm down a bit about the not. It's, this isn't working just yet.
Like, I think that's fair. I think the frustrating thing of last weekend is that they got owned up front, and it's not something that they associate with themselves. And it's very, very hard to win a rugby match when your pack is on the back foot, and they were very much beaten up physically. And that you often get a reaction. Sometimes that's not a bad thing. But if that happens again, obviously Europe's over.
That's the thing, isn't it? If it happens more than once, it's not just that you were had an off night, it's that you're not good enough.
Mm.
And the reality might be that they're 3 players short in the pack at the moment.
Yeah, I still do. I still think if you look, I think if you look at Tighthead, I think they just a little bit more nastiness in there. Archer and Ryan will do a job for you. Scannell hasn't taken it on. Kilcoyne's really the only one really of an international standard in there at the minute. John Klein, I still have a few question marks around him. I don't understand still his inclusion in the World Cup squad, and having watched more of him, he's a fine provincial player, nice provincial player, but not international standard. And likewise, Billy Holland. So if you look at that front five, really the only one that's of international calibre is Kilcoyne right now.
Yeah.
The way he's playing. The others have the potential, particularly Scannell has the potential, but so against a big physical team at home on a hard track, they're going to have their work cut out.
That sounds like you're predicting a Racing win for this.
Yeah, I am. I don't think it'll be a landslide because Racing's concede tries as well. You know, I don't think they've got the world's greatest defence. They can be porous at times, and with the firepower that Munster have, I think they can score tries against them. It's just a matter of how few they do concede, because you look at Vakatawa, you look at Teddy Thomas, the form that they're in. Finn Russell, the form that he's in, like he's got a ball on a string at the moment, particularly at home.
Right.
His kick game, his pass game, his run game. So, I just think if you're going to need to score three or four tries yourself against a team that are likely to score that against you,
it sounds like a stupid question, but did you completely change your game plan because it is on the plastic pitch that you realise that you have to score four or five tries? Suddenly you can't just do what you normally do.
No, I think what you do think beforehand is this has to be our best defensive performance of the season, and we build our foundations are built from that. So if we make it difficult for them to get across, and if we manage to only concede, you don't think that beforehand, but if in the backs of their mind, if they manage to only concede one or two tries, and you know that might be 12, 14, maybe a couple of penalties, maybe if they can keep Racing to 20 points, they'll feel as though they have 20 in themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way they've got to look at it. I don't think not many teams will keep Racing below 20 points in La Défense. So they've got to think about obviously kicking their goals, keep the scoreboard ticking over, but also they've got to be clinical and taking their opportunities when they do present themselves. And they've got the finishing power to do that.
Leinster have taken the opportunity to name their team for the game against Lyon as well. Obviously, we know they're already qualified. They want to maintain home advantage and number one seed and all that kind of stuff. How difficult is it for them to get up for these games? Is it like when they're already qualified? It's not.
I think it's second nature. You know, now, you know, I don't know a huge amount about Lyon, to be honest. I haven't seen an awful lot of them other than the bit in Europe. They're out of the competition. They've not a whole lot to play for. And Leinster are humming at the moment. That first 40 minutes against Connacht was one of the most impressive performances I've seen in some time.
A point a minute.
It's just the seamlessness of players coming in. And when it looks as though, you know, think about it, Dan Levy. No one's mentioned Dan Levy for the last 2 or 3 months because of the quality of that back row.
They're sensational, really.
Your man Baird coming in, you know, apparently he's going to be, you know, James Ryan part two. So the excitement around that, and just their ability to be able to, irrespective of who the personnel are, to come in. The two centres, the O'Brien, the two lads, they're very nice players. One big, one a bit more rangy, good skills. So they really have an incredible squad. And I think that's what keeps them sharp. I think the ability or the knowledge of if I don't play well, you know, there are plenty of other players that can come in and replace me here.
I saw a stat, I think it was 50 players that they've used this year so far. Like, that must be the most difficult part of Leo Cullen's job at the moment, is understanding what each of those 50 players are capable of, what the difficulties that they have in their private life, all that kind of stuff, that just the day-to-day man management of a giant squad like that.
But he sees that at training. You know, we're seeing it in games, he sees it at training. And then there's other components to it as well. There's attitude pieces, there's extra work. It's, you know,
how they show up in the video room and all that kind of stuff.
So that was exactly what I was going to say. Who stays latest on video? Who's doing the most work? Who's the greatest student of the game? Who needs to be the greatest student of the game? You know, who's got the appetite to do extras on their skills, you know, be it, you know, hookers coming in their day off, throwing darts with one another, or, you know, bringing one of the coaches in. All of those components add a huge amount of knowledge into the nest that Leo Cullen looks at to choose from.
Who's Ireland's second choice out half if Sexton is fit?
I really don't know. I don't know. Probably Ross Byrne, but I think this weekend's a big weekend for Billy Burns. I'm really excited about Harry Byrne, actually. It was the first time I saw him before Christmas. And he plays the game different than his brother, and even plays it different than Joey Carberry, with the way he attacks the ball. It's quite like Johnny, in that he attacks the line and is still able to throw those passes, and he sits defenders inside. He'd be a dream as an outside back to play outside.
Kieran Frawley looks like he's good.
Frawley looks like a nice player too.
Yeah, completely different skill set again.
Yeah. Again, you know, carried the ball a lot himself last weekend, but made a lot of it too. And I thought Leo Cullen, any time that you ask about Johnny Sexton or about Ross Byrne, he always mentioned Kieran Frawley, and I just thought that was him trying to keep his squad on side. But you know, looking at the quality of Frawley in the games that he's played this season, he is a nice player. So there are four tens that you have to try and keep happy over the course of a year and maybe another year. I don't know how much longer we'll see with Johnny. But even take Johnny out of the equation, how do you keep three good quality tens happy? It's a lovely headache to have, but it's a headache that is a finite period of time, because a player will get the hump and will be gone.
Yeah, so hopefully they stay within the Irish system, but maybe the best thing is that they all go off and play a couple of years away and come back.
Well, look at Cian Kelleher has gone and done that, and I don't know whether that's going to turn out to be the best move in the world, because you look at the players that are in there now. Dave Kearney back in form, obviously James Lowe is... with being, becoming Irish qualified in the summer, is that right?
November, I think.
In November.
Yeah.
They're there for what appears to be the long haul. It's the brave thing to do, because you got to get game time if you have future aspirations.
Yeah. Last question then about this, because Max Deegan got the pick. He's picked at number 8. It looks like himself and Caelan Doris, week on, week off, they can't decide at the moment.
Yeah. I thought it was all Caelan Doris. And then Max Deegan obviously had that game last weekend, played brilliantly. I think when it comes to international, Max Deegan's going to be a bit lightweight. He's going to need to put on a bit of size. As a number 8, I think internationally, as his size, he'll find it difficult. Whereas I think Doris just has a bit more about him, has a bit more explosives, has a bit more ability in contact. Whereas you look at Deegan's a real sevens type number 8. He's a bit of a Sam Simmons in England, in Exeter. But I don't know if he packs the punch like the likes of Sam Simmons does. So
can they change? Can any of them move positions at this stage? Could they become a seven
as
opposed to a six?
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I'm not a back row expert either. And you can learn any position. Shane Horgan never played on the wing before in his life, before his first cap against Scotland in 2000. He was a centre all his life. So if you're a footballer, of course you can adapt. It's more difficult in the front row, swapping sides and the technicalities around it. But understanding a game, if you're a good footballer, yes, it'll take you a few weeks or months, depending on how sharp you are, but you can get it. So, there is a spot. I'm not trying to write off CJ Standard yet, but I think there's potential in the number 8 jersey for someone to really showcase a different sort of game. But, sorry, to contrast CJ with Max, you look at how effective CJ has been over the last number of years. He doesn't pass the ball an awful lot, but he gives you a go forward, and you need that in international rugby. And there's nothing quite like size to be able to get you that, because footwork's terrific and everything, but defences are miserly at international level. And if you're lightweight, you'll get absolutely smashed.
All right, Brian, good stuff. Friday Night Rugby is brought to you by Vodafone, Team of Us, Everyone In. We'll be back with more rugby next week. But for now, that's it. Thanks very much.
Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us, Everyone In.